We played them the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
All right. Thank you for joining the ESBC podcast. Where I always say, the purpose of the podcast is to make me money. And I say that to be authentic, to keep it real, to keep things transparent, because in sports betting, it's a collaborative effort. It always is. You know, I've been at the sports book many times and I got shocked a few times. People saw me cashing tickets, people I barely know, they come up and they're like, who you're picking the next game and why? So really that podcast is kind of amplifying that. But I have an MBA, securities licenses. I have clients worth 20 million, 50 million, right? I have to keep my mind sharp. So every single wager we do, every single process we have is also a business process. The same way you pick a stock, same way you get out of your 401k and start picking individual stocks yourself. Or you want to get in a business, or you want to analyze a business partner, use the same process. And it's decision science. I have it behind me right there, that red and yellow book. It's a process used by Fortune 50 companies to make decisions, the management decisions, right? So previous podcast, we were long-winded. We kind of described things, even though we're going to do a little less. If you hear a term you don't understand, look for the episode notes. Click on the links to top 10 rules of betting, all right? And I'm also going to add a glossary to it. Our Twitter handles are there. Ask us questions there if we throw out a term or something you do not understand. But this time we're going to go no huddle fast on Thursday because everybody had problems. Everybody has problems. We had extra problems. That was each and every one of us. All right, so first game we're going to look at is Kansas City at the Chargers. First game, Chargers won in Kansas City. And we all know how Andy Reid thinks. He wants to get his team to get better as the season goes along. So that was a very vanilla version of Kansas City because salesmen think short-term. Businessmen and women think long term. So Andy Reid wants to win at the end of the year and make his team better. Chargers had a first year head coach. They have a depleted roster because they have a cheap Greek mafia owner from Tarpon Springs, Florida. Chiefs are minus three. I'm going to get the lines updated now for what I see as Chiefs minus three. I look at it still being a crazy division game, but it's going to be under 52.5. So I like the Chiefs on the money line under 52. Now, 52 is a key number. Conservatism, right? It's a philosophy. We have a betting philosophy. Andy Reid has a football philosophy. You get a lead, you sit on the clock. You look at the Rams. The game should have been so under Monday. Stafford did not snap the ball with more than 2 seconds left on the clock. So our good friend Mahomes is going to do the same thing. I can't imagine Herbert not doing the same thing because they have a depleted roster on defense. Remember, cheap teams do not pay for backups. So go with the Kansas City Chiefs on the money line and under 53. What are your thoughts? Scott, didn't you?
So I just, before we came on, I just saw a report that Eckler is pretty banged up. Probably won't play his full complement of snaps tonight. That's according to a source in the Chargers organization. So I take that at pretty good value if that's the case. And that will probably mess up the Chargers offense because Eckler is that outlet pass for Herbert out of the backfield. So I'm going Chiefs. I'm going Chiefs on the money line, and I'm going under because I think this is going to be a lower scoring game. Chiefs are playing much, much better than they did the first time. So I think it's going to be totally different. They can wrap the division up basically with a win tonight. So I think that's what's going to happen. So.
And then let me just finish the first part, because the first part is always, who the hell are you and why the heck should I listen to you? Every single business meeting has to have a purpose and outcome. We gave you the purpose. The outcome is that we're north of 60%, 52.5% is break even. And the results of the process is over $100,000 between college and pro. The average American makes $53,000. Chad Nolan.
Yeah, I'm with you guys here. I think the Chiefs will I think they'll win this one by a touchdown. You know, you can go money line here just to play it safe. I think if you can get a 2.5 here with the Chiefs for something reasonable, like 125 or under. But yeah, Chiefs are gonna win this game. And then yeah, the total being at 52.5. On the other side of that key number, I think the under is the right side here. And listen to you guys, I agree with the style that both teams are gonna play. And I think that this is going to be that typical division game where both teams really try to shorten the game. Right. So, yeah, like if this one does get over, it only squeaks over last second luckiness is the only way, you know, this one's going to get over. So I like the under here.
Right. So the highest level of probability theory is what we use. That's what decision science uses. And the highest level of certainty and probability theory is 80%. So I remember, Scott, when I worked in Boston. In Boston, you had to be precise in what your language was at work. Yep. So precisely, this is the highest level of probability based on our perception, education, knowledge of math, right? I have an MBA. The last math I took in college was differential equations. And math after that, you have to go to MIT to take that math. And if I went to MIT, they would call the cops immediately. Get out of MIT. But I do know enough math to have 13 straight years of profit. And another outcome is that the podcast has 30 weeks in a row profit, which is incredible. I don't know anybody. It's good and bad.
Yeah.
Right. So people love those consensus picks, but this is a unanimous decision. Kansas City Chiefs on the money line. Don't mess with the points. Crazy division game. Under 53 by that half a point. All right. Now, one thing that we give you guys a lot of value in, it's the fact that we keep track of things, right? We have a spreadsheet, we keep track of everything. And that allows us to be authentic and transparent. This week we have two Saturday games. So I have to plan my Saturday accordingly because I'm going to be at the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl watching Chad's brother, the Oregon State Beavers, against the Utah State Aggies.
Sir.
And I'm going to be so close. You guys might hear my loud mouth on them, on the field microphones. And if somebody messes with Chance, I'll run out on the field. Nobody's going to stop me on that one. If Anna doesn't go. Anna right now says she doesn't go, but Anna's always a game time decision. But I don't think she's going. She's doing nails with her best friend. So I think I'm in good shape.
Nice.
So we got the Las Vegas Raiders against the Cleveland Clowns. Over under started at 44, now 39. Are people overreacting to the weather?
No, they're overreacting to the COVID.
Oh, the Clowns have COVID, right?
Baker's out. Baker Mayfield's out. Austin Hooper, one of the tight ends, is out. Jarvis Landry is out. A lot of their offensive linemen have it. They might be out. So that's why people are reacting to this, and it's way down.
All right. So in that case, been listening to the Raiders broadcast. They were embarrassed last week. These are professional players. I think Rich Bisaccia lost any chance he had to be a head coach last week. Mm-hmm. This is a time where he needed to know how to manage. He's a super great guy, nice guy. He was a great recruiter. And when he was in the college ranks, when I talked to him on the phone, he was very nice. When he wanted to be the head coach of the USF Bulls, and me as the alumni head in Southern California, he was seeking my support. Nice guy, like Rich Bisaccia. Last week was a week where he needed to do some managing because he's not coaching, right? Gus Bradley handles the defense. Olsen handles the offense. But this is a game where he had to rally the troops so when they got down, they could come back and do something, right? They were stomping on the logo, this and that. Carr is a religious hypocrite, and nobody hates that. We've all seen him at work. You know, we don't like people. Personally, somebody's crazy. As long as they believe in their craziness and it's not phony craziness, they're okay. But when somebody's a phony, right? So he's not helping Ruggs get to court. So the team just went south. So I think somebody like Mad Max Crosby is going to show some leadership. Proteins do not get blown 2 weeks in a row. So it would be embarrassing to lose to the Clowns when the Clowns are missing so many players. So I think they're going to be able to run on them, simple stuff. But Shasha needed, if he wanted to be a head coach, whether it worked out or not, he needed to pull Carr and put Mariota in. I would start Mariota next game. Why? Because of the plus one. He can run. And Carr is always good for one turnover. And just have Mariota run for the rest of the season. I think it's a better for the Raiders. So I like the Raiders in this situation. And I like it under 39 because, again, and it's funny because it's almost like the same tree. It's conservatism. It's the philosophy. Can these teams score? Can Kansas City go to the Chargers and win the game and shoot out 55-50? Probably if I was coaching the team and Chad, he would do it. I don't know. Coach actually really coached. Right? Scott Kovac actually coached for 20 years. Shannon and our players. I would do it in a shootout, but it's his philosophy. He believes in a certain way about football. So does Stefanski, who the reason he's a head coach is because he has the emotional control. He's the only coach that stayed with Zimmer 6 years. Because when he was a coffee boy and Zimmer spit the coffee in his face and punched him and said, "Hey, you got sugar in my coffee." He came back. All the other coaches quit and said, "F you, Zimmer, I'm going somewhere else." He stayed because he had emotional control. He had a plan to be a head coach. Now he's with Callahan, who's Zimmer. But now he's the boss of the Zimmer guy, Callahan, because Callahan can't get along with anybody. And he's also very abusive to his assistant coaches. They have a philosophy about running the ball, just like Coughlin. I remember Coughlin one time, his whole offensive line was hurt. And they were down by 17 points. And I was watching it at the bar with somebody I didn't even know. But it was hilarious. I was watching this game. Giants are down by 17 points. Started the second half. The whole offensive line is hurt, and Coughlin runs it three times in a row. Because Coughlin loves to establish the running game, no matter who's on the field. Stopping us and Callahan are like that. So what that means for us is we're going to make money with this game going under the 39. Bet it now, because he's probably going to keep plunging. And I like the Raiders. Give me the Raiders on the money line. Because the pride of Mad Max, I think Mad Max is going to be the leader, going to get that defense together. Gus Bradley wants to get paid next year, so does Olsen. Both these guys want jobs next year, so I don't think they're going to give two bad game plans in a row, right? So give us the Las Vegas Raiders on Saturday after a bad, embarrassing loss to go over to Cleveland and win 21-17. We'll go Scott and Chad.
So if I were the Raiders, my game plan would be very simple. Stack the box, stop Nick Chubb. Do that. I don't think Cleveland has a shot to win. And I think that's what the Raiders will do. So, and the other guy that's out, Stefanski. He's got COVID too. He's out. So they don't even have the head coach.
How many times are they going to get COVID?
They have a ton of guys.
Last year, whatever, they didn't go.
Yeah, so this is going on.
This is straight from an NFL executive in the front office. He could be lying. I mean, I don't know what's going on, but it could be that Stefanski has AIDS or that he has a cancer or a serious illness he doesn't want to make public and they're putting it on COVID. I'm just saying that a lot of these things that come in the media do not make any sense. Okay, you can only get COVID so many times. You get a built-in immunity.
Exactly.
Yep.
Has he taken the three shots in the booster or whatever? Right. And what's he doing? Where's he hanging out? Most coaches just hang out in the office and amongst the players.
Right.
So we don't know what's going on with Stefanski, in my mind. Yep. But that leads to dysfunction, right?
Exactly. So this game basically is a loser leaves town game in terms of playoff seeding. So I'm going to agree with you, Josh. I'm going to take the Raiders and I'm going to take the under because I think Cleveland's game plan is very simple. Run the ball 80% of the time and keep the ball out of Case Keenum's hand. So so I like the Raiders and I like the under.
I'm with you guys too. I think Raiders are going to win this game. Raiders on the money line all day. They got embarrassed last week playing a depleted Cleveland team. And then, yeah, I think they're going to stack the box, take away Cleveland's run. And even when it's taken away, Cleveland's still just going to try to run it. And I think it goes under. I agree.
All right. So unanimous on this. And you know what? Again, I go back to what Bernard Wolfman told me, independently wealthy guy. Yeah, he was into finances. He's like, Josh, you see with your eyes. So they get rid of OBJ, right? Dysfunctional guy. Kareem Hunt, domestic violence, dysfunctional guy. That's why he got out of KC. And we just told you about Callahan's. He needs anger management. And the thing about a guy like Callahan is that he's almost like a drug addict, what they call functioning addicts, who just don't hit rock bottom. So nobody can tell him anything. And he's made millions upon millions of dollars being a great offensive line coach. So nobody can tell him anything. Everybody just kisses his ass, right? It's just high risk. Another guy who's like that is Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick does not talk to his kids, been divorced twice. His first wife's really, really nice, but he just ignores everybody and just watches films all day. And he's one of the great strategists of all time. The game plan he had for Buffalo, the running shoot, was the same game plan he had for the Air Raid, won two Super Bowls. The more things change, the more things it's the same. But we'll go to our New England expert. I'll figure out the numbers, but we're in plus money with New England. Scott, he's up there. This line here seems like it's off. One team has depth, one team doesn't. One team has talent all over the field. The other team doesn't. And that team that I'm talking about, I love betting this. I love just, you know, how double-digit dogs in the division, you do not bet blindly, you do your research. Mm-hmm. I almost don't do research when I'm getting plus money on the more talented team. So if I'm reading this right, this is New England plus +3 and the over-under is 46.
Correct.
I'm going to New England all day, every day. Why the line change? And let me know your thoughts, Scott, in the chat.
So Belichick is basically known as a guy who takes away your best, your most dangerous weapon on offense. And that happened. And that's Jonathan Taylor.
Right.
The Patriots secondary is probably the top three. So they don't need to do anything special because the Colts receiving core is not that good. So I think you're going to see a lot of stacked boxes, a lot of one-on-ones on defense with the Patriots. But I think Jonathan Taylor's going to get his. He's just one of those running backs that's in the class by himself.
What I would bone up pick with you on is that Bill Belichick is one of the greatest defensive guys of all time.
Correct.
He knows how to stop the running game. That's the first issue. It's a stop the running game.
Right.
And I think McCourty's crazy, right? Because the way he plays, it's like he was 100 pounds bigger. He puts it in the hole, smashes people. I think he's going to hit Mr. Robinson. I'll predict this. The first time McCourty goes and hits, puts a lick on Mr. Robinson, Mr. Robinson isn't going to get much yardage.
Yeah.
It'll be like the Robinson and Jackson, though. Take me out of the game, coach. My ankle hurts. I'm down by 14.
So there's two factors at play here. I agree with you on that. Taylor played Tampa Bay a couple of weeks ago. Tampa Bay's probably the best run defense in the league. He got his in the fourth quarter. That's probably going to be
stick their starters out.
Exactly. So that's probably what's going to happen again. I think the Patriots are going to be up like 28-10. And I think Taylor's going to score a touchdown and run wild. The Patriots are the most talented team. They can outclass Indianapolis. Indianapolis's passing game is not good. The Patriots secondary is really good. So I'm taking the Patriots, getting the points. I mean, that's a bonus. And I'm going to take the under because I think this is going to be one of those 27-10 type of games, 27-17. So I love the Patriots in this spot. If you get points with the Patriots, you got to play them. And that's what I'm going with. So
they have an elite Super Bowl defense.
They certainly do.
4 years, and he has him exactly the way he wants him. And he's old school. He knows how to build depth. And Kraft let him spend $72 million in upfront money. Most of those guys were defensive guys.
Yeah, and I know I said this a couple of weeks ago, but I'll say it again. Take a look at the Patriots' first Super Bowl with Brady. This is eerily similar to that team. You know, game manager, quarterback, elite defense. That's eerily similar to what's going on this year.
The only reason that the Colts are doing so well this season is because Frank Reich is a genius.
Yes.
Well, to Belichick.
Yes.
So there's no coaching mismatch. It's probably even, I would say it's even. So when the coaching's even, you got to go with the talent.
Yep.
Like we go with the talent. The talent on the ESPN podcast is Chad Noll. All right. Mr. Talent, you're the young, good-looking, dashing guy. You know, who's got a big upside.
Gosh, what are you going? What are you doing on the total?
Total, I think it's going to be what Scott said. It's going to be over.
Scott's on. You're on the under, right?
Yeah, I'm on the under because I don't think Indianapolis is going to score more than like 16, 17 points. I think the Patriots are going to take them out of the game.
What is this? Is this total at? It's under 45, or it's like 45 and a half?
It's 45 and a half. I got. That's what I got right now.
I'll go under 46. Go under 46.
Yeah. Well, Patriots all day. I mean, this Patriots one's a no-brainer. Wrong team's favorite here for sure.
Right.
And then, Over 45, 40, 45 and a half, 46. It's going to be a lot of running in this game.
Yeah, and Belichick with a lead, he'll sit on the ball. He only threw it three times last week, anyways.
Both teams will run the ball like 40 plus times here, so we'll play that under.
Right. All right. So for those listening out there, and I'll make sure I'm clear for Jason, who's doing a great job with the spreadsheet, giving us independent counts because we get tired with clients. I own three businesses. And when I see my bankroll having a lot more money than I had before, I just let things go. But Jason's helping us be precise. So we're making four bets here, right? We got, because we live in a crazy, unpredictable world. Probability theory, highest level of certainty is 80%. So we're going to go Pats money line, Pats plus +3. Now, for me, and let me know if you guys agree, all these teams are going to bet against them in the second half. I'm like 15-1 with these bets. Colts, Jets, Giants, Lions, Bears. What do they all have in common? They all have owners that take loans out on the teams. Now, with the Colts, their owner, let me ask you this, Scott. If you get pulled over in New England with a pound of cocaine and with $30,000 worth of prescription medication, would you be a free man right now?
Not at all. Not at all.
Chad, would you?
No.
No, me either. Robert Irsay, owner of the Colts, the answer is yes, he was a free man. And he gets the prostitute out of jail that he was, out of the hospital he was. And then she ODs. They would have added a murder charge to me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he's out. So it's the decision makers, like the clowns, right? The clowns have Kareem Hunt, domestic violence, Callahan. They had OBJ. The head coach is getting COVID 15 times. Every 5 minutes he has COVID, which I think is a lot because you can't get COVID more than 3 or 4 times. He has it 15 times in missing games. So all that to say, Pats money line, Pats plus +3, Pats second half line, under 46. It's arbitrage. And we'll have the link to what arbitrage is. But when you buy and sell 10 or more securities, you take advantage of a market inefficiency. Then a man made $39 million, billion dollars with a B, just taking advantage of market inefficiencies. So I follow that person's lead and make money myself. Carolina plus 10.5 at Buffalo. Buffalo needs to win badly. Carolina's out of control. Give me Buffalo minus 10 over 45. Scott in the chat.
I'm right with you. Buffalo needs to, they have to win in the worst way. Carolina's basically a dead team walking right now. I don't see Carolina going up to Buffalo and winning the game at all, or even being in the game. So I'll take Buffalo. I'll take, and I'll take the under.
Well, yeah, their defense has been on the field too long.
Yeah.
You know, Diggs and Emmanuel Sanders, Singletary, all those guys, I see them having big games because Josh Allen's ankle's busted up. He's hurt. Yeah. So he's going to have to throw it, keep it in the pocket.
Well, they're not even trying to run.
They should have been doing it anyways.
They're not even trying to run the ball right now. They're just throwing the ball 40, 50 times a game. And Josh Allen's, you know, he's the only running back that they have right now, basically. So they're going to have to run. They'll be able to run the ball a little bit. They'll get up big early in the game, and then they'll be able to run.
The Carolina defense is depleted because they've been on the field the whole year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Week 15.
No question.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so, man, yeah, I love Buffalo here. Carolina was pretty much eliminated with their loss last week, 5-8 now. They're pretty much out of the playoff picture. Buffalo is in dire need of a win at home. I think Buffalo really has a good offensive performance. I think they really put it together. I think this one's going to barely squeak over, like 31 to 14, hit like 46. That's what I'm seeing. So, yeah, I'm going to go Buffalo minus 10 over 44 and a half.
Well, this is the thing, right? Buffalo is a zone team. And, you know, Cam Newton's been in the league for a million years. He's going to know his zone, and he's going to get some garbage touchdowns at the end of the game.
Yeah.
He's going to know what defense they're in, and he's going to go against backups. Hopefully, yeah. Out of McDermott.
Like it'll be 31
all the time.
It'll be 31-7 Buffalo with 6 minutes left. Carolina gets a drive and goes down to the backup.
Right,
31-14.
Yeah. McDermott is irrational. So he'll have the starters in there up by 30. So they can get hurt and he can lose a playoff game. Arizona at Detroit. I missed Detroit last week, but I'll get them this week. Arizona, you beat them rushing 3, dropping 8, and playing zone blitz. Murray's hurt, so he can't run around too much that much. It's at Detroit. They're going to do the ball control version of the air raid. So it's going to be under. Man, Detroit's plus 13. I'm going to wait for the Detroit line to balloon. So that's one we'll have for our 30-minute before the game live stream. We'll see what that Detroit line is. So I'm going to go Detroit plus 14 under 48. What do you think, Scott?
I'm in agreement. DeAndre Hopkins done for the year. So that's a big blow to their receiving core.
Wow.
I mean, he was not elite this year, but he was solid. So he's done for the year. Played Monday night, division game, short week, having to go to Detroit.
Right.
It's a recipe for a 21-13 type of game.
Right.
So I'm going to wait for the line. I'm leaning toward Detroit right now, but I'm going to wait until Sunday morning to see if that line balloons up, which it might not. But I'm definitely going under. This is an under game. I mean, Arizona just wants to win the game and get out. They need to win. They're in a free fall right now for playoff seeding. So,
every single team that Kingsbury has coached in college or in the NFL has gone through a bad losing streak.
Yep. And here comes, I'm not saying they're going to lose this game because they're probably going to win it. But here comes the struggle for the Cardinals right now. The Rams could catch them for the division. It's highly possible. So I like the under because I think Arizona's just going to want to run the ball or play ball control a lot of the game. They want to keep it close at home, but they want to lose. So
they want to lose the game.
Yep.
What do you think, Chad?
Yeah, you know, I think this is going to be a return to the mean total for Detroit. They've been such a good under team all year. I believe their last two games have both gone over. Last week just went over with Denver. It was 38-10, 48. That total was like 42. The week before that, they beat Minnesota 29-27. I think this is going to be Detroit wants to keep it close. Let's see where that line balloons to. Going to wait just like you guys and see where that goes. Try to if we get something on the other side of 14. I think Detroit can keep within 2 touchdowns. I think this is going to be an underdog game. Arizona will get a lead and sit on it. And Detroit's offense is probably going to regress a little. I just think this is going to be a classic lines under that we've seen majority of the season. So.
Nice. Yeah, in the average score of an NFL game, historically, even with the years where people say people are scoring a lot, perception, right? Perception and reality. And it's been hitting me in the face this week with a lot of people overestimating decisions, whether it's an investment, whether their kid's ability to play, their ability as a as a CEO. Everybody overplays their hand, right? So, you know, to that end, people love betting those favorites. And boom, it balloons up. And we make money. Jets at Miami. And if I'm not mistaken, Miami's coming off a bye.
Yes. Yep.
Miami's coming off a bye. They have good field vibes. Miami's just cheap. I think their tank year was last year. They got Tua's playing with more confidence. There's good vibes going into Miami. Flores is a defensive coach coming off a bye. The guy that he has as his defensive coordinator is lights out. The only thing that worries me is maybe that defensive coordinator is out there negotiating for a college job because Miami is so cheap. He can make more money as the head coach of Louisiana or the defensive coordinator at Auburn than he can as defensive coordinator in the Jets, for the Jets or Miami, either or. The Jets are trying to lose on purpose. I think they hired that coach on purpose because they knew they were going to lose. The guy was only a defense coordinator for 1 year, and now he's the head coach of the Jets. Yeah, this screen's 23-3. Good defensive coordinator against a young quarterback. Miami covers the 10, and it's under 42. What do you think, Scott, then Chad?
Well, I'm in agreement with you. I think that the Dolphins coming off the bye, I don't think the Jets will be able to compete in this game. Keep in mind, Jalen Waddle just went on the COVID list this morning, so that'll hurt Miami a little bit. Won't hurt them in this game, but might in a couple of games down the line. So I like Miami. I like them covering the spread. I like the under, and I also like the Jets under team total, which is 17. So I would bet that as well. Team
total.
Yep.
Those hit a lot for me last week, your team total.
Yep. So I think the Jets, this could even be a shutout. It's highly possible. But I don't see the Jets being able to compete in this game. I think Miami is that dangerous team that could make the playoffs as a 6 or 7 seed and cause some damage. So,
And I think that the quarterback for the Jets, Wilson or whatever his name is, he needs to see a psychotherapist. He looks like a deer in the headlight. He just looks too freaked out.
Yep.
I don't like the TikTok video, his mom, his hot wife, his sister. They're all beautiful ladies. But you look at him, you look at the body language, you're like, we're just happy. My husband, my son is making $20 million. Kiss my ass, right? They're not focused on the guy that he has to perform on. He doesn't have to perform out there, but it seems like the kid wants to. He's a deer caught in the headlight. He's not being coached right. Every single quarterback that's gone in there, right, has executed the offense better than Wilson. Whether it's Mike White, whether it's Josh Johnson, whoever it is, they can pick things up faster than he can. And remember, when you're in that amygdala brain, right, the amygdala brain is when you hear an ambulance, you get in this primal brain. He seems like he's in that primal brain. And he's scared out there. He wasn't that good at BYU. I remember Slovis outplayed him as a freshman. And they lucked out to a win. I didn't think Zach Wilson was that great at BYU. And he hasn't shown me nothing in the NFL. He's on Trevor Lawrence level. And in the heat, Miami. Oh, yeah. Second half line, too. So we got Miami minus 10, under 42. Jets team total under. And then Miami in the second half line, because believe me, a deflated defense is not that good, but it's been on the field all year. And let me look at the weather in Miami. I knew I couldn't breathe, and I was further up north. What do you think, Chad Nolan?
Yeah, I love the under here. I am going to be a little more hesitant on Miami than you guys. Listening to you guys, man, you guys really kind of talked me into it. Like, I like the Jets team total under as well. I just, if this line balloons and gets up to 11, 12, you know, I'm going to look hard at the double digit dog in the division here.
Right.
Because the Jets might only need to score 10 to cover like a 12 point line here. Right. You know, they could lose this game.
Flores just says, let me run it up the middle all day and
And this could be a 21-10 game.
10-3.
You know, yeah, something like that. So, I don't know. I'm kind of leaning Jets here. I'm going to let this line balloon. I think if I can get the Jets around 12, 11 and a half, 12 on the other side of 11, I might look at that. So I'm just going to kind of hold off on this one. I liked what you guys said about Miami, but under and the Jets team total, I think this one's going to be really low scoring. So I'm with you guys.
Right. It's going to be raining. It's going to be 80. Let me see what I can get. Because what I'll do is I might middle it, right?
Yeah.
Because double-digit dogs in the division are usually 80% at 50. Yeah, so when you look at trends, you look at them both ways. Oh, I missed a trend. So if you miss a trend, that doesn't mean you're going to do what the trend says. You do the opposite. You go the other way. You start going the other way.
And I mean, the double-digit dog in the division should have some return to the mean. It being 50%. So just something to look at.
Yeah, I'm checking if they have they played this year.
They have. Miami won by a touchdown, I think.
Okay, so there's a revenge factor here.
24-17.
There's a revenge factor. And the Jets have professional ball players who have pride. So that defense might show up, and Miami might let them show up because Miami knows that they don't have to show much on offense. So teams can have film on them. They can beat the Jets playing vanilla, which is the under all the way.
Yeah, both defenses could come to play. It could be a 10-3 game.
10-3 game.
10-6. I mean, it could be real low scoring.
So the line is 9.5 now. So I'm going to bet it down. I'm going to bet Miami now. And then whatever it balloons to, I'm going to bet the Jets. I'm betting the under. And I'll do a Twitter live on the second half bet. I'll listen. First quarter, I'll listen to the Jets radio. Second quarter, I'll listen to Miami radio. Then I'll go on Twitter and tell you what my second half pick is for this game. But it's a leaner Miami because it's going to be 80. And it's going to be 100% humidity because it's raining there, right? And then the evaporation, this is not like a sun like California to evaporate the humidity. The humidity, you'll stay there with helmets. And the Jets are quitters. So it's a tough one. And the Jets are quitters. But if Miami doesn't want to score, and wants to do the Army-Navy game, we're just running it, run the clock out, keep the ball in the middle of the field, keep your players healthy too. You got a lead. You don't need to score any more points. You want to keep your guys healthy. So that leads to the under, and maybe the Jets covering, and I get a middle. I win both sides of the bet. Right? Remember, 2 out of 3 is 66%. 52.5% is break even. All right, next game is Dallas at the Giants.
We're about to find out, Scott, what he's doing. This is one of those double-digit dogs we were talking about yesterday.
Okay, well, last time they played, they were a double-digit dog. And they ended up not covering, but
they lost
40. They were under. Because Clark Judge decides that he wants to do fake punts and stuff late in the game. So that's when I got to see with your eyes, because Clark Judge has gotten me on the under a couple of times where I knew the game was going to go under. And then he starts onside kick, fake fumble, hooking ladders, all these shenanigans against Dallas. Let me see. Dallas did not have a bye. Dallas won last week, right?
Yeah, they beat Washington.
They beat Washington. That's right. Another game that could have gone either way. At the Giants. Giants last week, they got a new offensive coordinator. Right? The Giants have a new offensive coordinator because he got in a fight with Garrett. He fires Garrett. Quinn is the defensive coordinator for Dallas, so that's a coaching it's a coaching mismatch all the way around. The over under on this game is 44.5, 45. So we're gonna go under 45 because the Dallas pays for assistance. We're gonna scout all those fake punts and all the fake punts and shenanigans he has dialed up. Dallas doesn't need to score. Dallas does not need to score in this game to beat the Giants in New York, the biggest market. And the refs have been calling plays for the home teams to make back the $750 million deal. So you guys were right. You guys were right in the way I was going to take it. We'll go the Giants plus 11, under 45. Double-digit dog in the division goes the other way because Dallas doesn't want to cover. Now, this isn't that Dallas can't cover. Why put on film what you do on offense against the Giants, a team you can be vanilla running Pollard and Elliott all day? What wins on the road, right? What travels? The running game and defense and special teams. Right. So, hey, and Dallas has the best special teams coach in the league. The skinny white guy, I think Fossil Jr. or whatever, who should be a head coach. You guys are right, man. You guys can read my mind. Double-digit dog in the division. We'll go Chad and Scott.
Yeah, I like the Giants here, too. I'm with you. I think, getting double digits at home in the division.
New York's a big market, big TV market.
They'll be able to keep this one close and cover that for sure. And then, yeah, under the 45, I think with the Giants offense, you can't bet it over with them. And I think Dallas, like you said, is comfortable with the lead. They're going to run the ball. A two-touchdown lead's plenty in this game for them. So I'm with you. Giants plus.
Since the Giants are bad, we saw it last week, Scott. Remember, predicted it. All the Dallas Cowboy fans from when the Roger Staubach days, they all got more money than God, all that money. They head to Biloxi, Mississippi, Vegas, wherever they're at. Having a great weekend, drinking, eating, and betting Dallas in the over. What do you think, Scott?
I'm in agreement with you guys. I was going to lean Dallas, but I think I'm going to go to Giants and I'm going to go to the under. I'm just afraid the Giants quarterback situation is going to not lead them to success in this game. But I think Dallas's fourth quarter last week scares me off of them, where they let Washington back in the game. Leads me to believe that they're going to be ultra conservative. They're going to get a lead, and then they're going to become run heavy the rest of the game. So I'm going to go the Giants, and I'm going to go the under. Because in New York, I think the Giants need to prove something to not only the fans but themselves that they can hang with a good team and play very well. And I think that's what's going to happen in this game. So Giants and the under.
Man, Mike Lennon. It's always better to be lucky than good. He is one of the, he's kind of tied. I'm looking up his record real quick as a starter. He's tied with Davis Mills as one of the worst NFL quarterbacks I've ever seen. He was bad at North Carolina, right? North Carolina State, and people were like, oh, he must have pictures, right? Remember old man O'Brien? He used to be coach at Boston College. Old man O'Brien was coach at Boston College and went to North Carolina State and started Mike Lennon over Russell Wilson for God knows whatever reason. He must have gotten paid by the Glennon family.
That's right. Wilson transferred to Wisconsin.
Right. So I heard a statistic. I want to get it right. Mike Lennon record as a starter. Because he keeps getting jobs.
Can't be very good.
You remember, Scott, you're as old as I am. This guy played 15 years in the NBA for 15 different teams. And he used to come off the bench and play for 5 minutes. Kurt Nymphius. Remember Kurt Nymphius?
I remember him.
It's like, man, this guy knows how to get jobs. There's a difference between being a good interviewer and actually being good at your job.
Right.
People that go from job to job get paid well a job every year because they suck at their job. But in an interview, they knock it out. So Mike Lennon, let's see if I can find him. He's 6-23 as a starter.
Damn. It's terrible.
He averages 213 yards per game. So it has to be under, but he'll keep it close. He does what he does. He'll do what he does in practice. At the end of the game, he just like Dalton. Right? Dalton's one of the greatest quarterbacks all time. Down by 30 with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. He was scored a touchdown to me. But in this case, it will stay under. All right. Washington Redskins +7 at Philadelphia.
I got him up to 10 right now. Scott, you seeing that? I'm seeing Philly -10.
What?
Yeah, I got a 10. I got Philly -10.
Almost bet it blindly. Almost bet it blindly.
You know why that is, right?
COVID again?
Washington has 21 players on the COVID list right now.
What the?
They're only going to be able to bring maybe 40 players to the game on Sunday. That's what I was reading.
What so, the?
Yeah, Washington's in bad, bad shape right now.
And they can't.
And Heineke, their quarterback, is going to be playing on some kind of sprained knee or something like that. So,
but he's a gamer.
He absolutely. Absolutely.
He's a gamer. He always hurt. Because he's like Josh Allen. He played without a line.
They have 21 players on the COVID list, and McLaurin has not cleared the concussion protocol yet. So he's doubtful to play right now. So they have nobody. They have nobody. It's a bad recipe. If Hurts plays, Philly's gonna win that game by 2 touchdowns. Because Washington's gonna be playing practice squad guys.
Right.
And they're on practice squads for a reason. So they're not ready to go a full, and some of these guys are gonna have to play full complement of snaps in this game. So it's gonna be really tough for Washington to compete in this game. I think. But Rivera's a good coach and Del Rio's a good defensive coach. So
right. Scheme-wise.
Yes. Yes. But when you don't have the talent there, it's very tough to play in the NFL.
And the Eagles are coming off a bye.
Yes. Yep.
In my humble opinion, right, we'll go ahead. Go ahead, Chet. But I think Gardner Minshew is a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. I would start Minshew over Hurts. Go ahead, Chet.
You know what I'm saying? I think all these guys out, too. I think that this kind of plays to going over as well. I mean, if the Eagles can blow them out, you know, they're with an offensive head coach, they will in the division. You know, they'll score 35 if they can. I could see why, you know, Heineke's just running around for his life, you know, trying to scramble, drill, throw some shit. You know, this could easily be a 35-17 type game. And get to 50, you know, low 50s for the total.
Well, salesmen think short-term, businessmen think long-term. Whoever they put in there, Washington, they're running the real scheme now. So you could get Chad, myself, and Scott, and we could run their scheme, and we could keep teams under.
So the other thing is with this over-under, I would wait because if these guys all get ruled out because they haven't been yet, this is going to go 38-39 over under.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely play the over.
Yeah, people will bet the under for sure because
– What? We're gonna give the decision on this bet 30 minutes before kickoff?
Yes, yeah.
Because heard from the horse's mouth, fake COVID, where a team will say, we have 40 guys on the COVID list. And guess what? They all show up upset. So we don't know if Washington is not above doing that.
Right.
In a division game. In the game they need, the counts for $2 million on the line. We have to investigate. Are they lying about how many people are on the COVID list?
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. Totally agree.
So then we're going to hold off to 30 minutes before kickoff. Washington, see what's going on. See what is going on with COVID. What flavor of COVID do they have? If one person getting COVID for the first time, it's different than somebody who has two vaccinations and a booster in a good immunity and test clean that day. Different flavors.
So, and the other thing you have to consider is if there's this many on COVID, are they going to play this game on Sunday? You know, because the NFL's done some wacky stuff, and it could be a cancellation or a forfeit.
Double bye.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very possible that this game gets forfeited. So,
right. That's so 30 minutes before kickoff. Because I'm waiting for it, right? You guys are thinking of me with Bill Belichick. She goes, I'm confused, but I think we have 35 guys on COVID. He's just cheating, lying. Everybody's fine. Oh, 35 guys will show up. Ready to go. Right, just to confuse people and get them out of there, right? Because a lot of things going on. Herd immunity. That Washington area is almost 80% vaccinated, right? So there's a lot. I mean, I'm on the Washington Post, and all they're talking about is Urban Meyer. Right. And Congress now is going to subpoena Roger Goodell, and he's trying to retire. It's his Godfather 3. Every time I get to leave, they pull me back. So we're going to hold off on that game to 30 minutes before kickoff. So I think there's a lot of shenanigans going on here. Tennessee at Pittsburgh. My guy, Tomlin, who covered for me first game of the season. I felt that he was going to outcoach McDermott, and he did. Vrabel's he's an elite coach. I like him a lot. He's an elite guy, but he doesn't have all his horses. Pittsburgh needs this game bad. Good defensive coordinators this year have beaten mediocre quarterbacks. So I like defensive coordinator Mr. Butler, Mr. Tomlin, to destroy Tannehill. Keep this game under, and Roethlisberger is going to do. It's a pick 'em at the Circa. And it's one across the board: FanDuel, PointsBet, SuperBook, BetMGM, Caesars. They're all 1.5. Give me your Pittsburgh Steelers on the money line. Under 43. What do you think, Scott, in chat?
I'm right with you. I think Pittsburgh needs to win this game more so than Tennessee. I think it's at Pittsburgh. You know, could weather, who knows, could be a factor. So I look for Pittsburgh to win a game like this. This has Pittsburgh written all over it for a win. So I'll take Pittsburgh on the money line. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. So I'll take the under on it as well.
Right, and to be precise, there's three sides to this. So it's going to be Pittsburgh plus 2, because we live in a crazy, uncertain world.
Yep.
Pittsburgh money line, basically we're covering our ass. Under 43, two defensive coaches playing late in the year, wanting to keep their defenses fresh, limit the time their defenses are on the field. So he's going to go under. And Tannehill has a super hot wife, one of the hottest wives of all time. Go on Twitter, look at the photo of her shooting an AK-47 and rifles and stuff. Very entertaining for guys. Tannehill's wife. and I'm in trouble too, right? Because the 9mm we have in the house, and it's the one who has it. So I'm in trouble. Go ahead, Chad.
No, yeah, I agree with you guys here. I think this is going to be just – it's going to be cold. It's like 35 degrees at kickoff for this game. Yeah, I really I see Pittsburgh needs this game right here so much worse than Tennessee at home. I think they'll be able to squeeze and get this one, win this game. So Pittsburgh on the money line.
Pittsburgh's getting the whistle, too, for the refs.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see a steady dose of run both ways, and with the weather, those both play to the under 43. So I'm with you guys. Pittsburgh money line under the 43.
All right. Houston at Jacksonville. The Tank Bowl. Now you see the book I have behind me, sent to the Art of War. You get everybody riled up by killing someone, right? So they killed Urban Meyer. Daryl Bevel has been in this situation before. To rally the troops, he actually got demoted. And Brian Schottenheimer been the offensive coordinator. Now he's the head coach. Chaos. Mr. Khan, he's a great businessman. He's not a football guy. He should not be making any football decisions. Because he doesn't know, he thinks he's so smart he can figure out football. Because he can, you know, he's a billionaire businessman. And Tepper's finding out that that's not the case. The different sort of competencies. I cannot bench press Chad Nolan, but Chad Nolan can outrun me. I can't run with Chad. I got on bench him. And then Scott could hit the outside shot probably a lot better than Chad and I. Everybody has their own competencies and intelligences. And one doesn't necessarily translate to the other. Just because you're a billionaire, smart business guy, does not mean you just own the NFL team and start calling shots, right? Because what happened in Jacksonville will happen. This is going to be at Jacksonville. Houston just got blown out. Houston has said that they're going to start Davis Mills because he gives them the best chance to lose and get a higher draft pick. People have been smart. The over under started at 43. Now it's at 39. I like this game to go over because Houston got embarrassed last week. Jacksonville has a good defense, but they're going to be depleted in that second half. Houston's going to score because of pride. Daryl Bevel has hidden a game plan because he's been backstabbing Urban Meyer the whole time. So he has a game plan. Plotter's plot, right? This is not the first time. He backstabbed Mike Patricia, right? And he had a game plan that he hadn't shared with Mr. Patricia, even though he got paid for it. He didn't share that game plan. And Detroit went on a little bit of a streak. He's ready for this. So Jacksonville is like that family member. Inflation, when I talk about inflation, it used to be $20 that she asked to borrow that we gave because we know you're not going to pay back. We were visiting Methland, Florida. We gave her $100. She promised she was going to bring beef Wellington. It was favored. I believed her this time. It was favored that she was going to bring the beef Wellington to Thanksgiving. She didn't. So you cannot trust loser dysfunctional teams with points. So I'm going to take Jacksonville on the money line because now they have an experienced coach. Daryl Bevel's dad was a coach. He's a coach. He desperately wants to be a coach in the NFL. He backstabs Meyer. He's probably the leak for all the stories. So I like Jacksonville on the money line over 39 points. The average of an NFL game is 45 points. So I see 28-14 Jacksonville or something like that, or 28-21. You know, Davis Mills scores a couple late touchdowns to make the game go over, but not beat Jacksonville. And Houston, their defenses are pretty equal. Lovie Smith has that defense playing well. They're just on the field way, way, way too long because they have zero offense. Again, 30 minutes before game time, I'm going to wait for that line to go down, right? Because people are just going to go with the trend. And give me Jacksonville on the money line. Jacksonville, I'm going to cover my ass on the over-under in a way and go Jacksonville second half line in the heat where the defense has been on the field all week, and then over whatever it is, 30 minutes before halftime. We'll go Scott, then Chad.
So I think the coaching change will make a difference in this game. I think Bevel will, James Robinson hasn't run the ball hardly at all. He was in Urban Meyer's doghouse, whatever reason. I think he comes out of that. Jacksonville's at home. Give me Jacksonville. Give me the over. Houston's the better run organization right now. That's hard to say. But I think Jacksonville will take the ball out of Trevor Lawrence's hands and put it in the running game's hands, and I think that'll be
good. Pull out and put Beathard in.
Yeah. I Trevor Lawrence is not ready yet. Number one draft pick, but I think they'll do just enough to win this game. I think they'll win by 4 to 6 points, somewhere in there, and I think they'll go on the over. So that's what my pick would be.
Yeah, so we're both in agreement. Jacksonville money line over 39. Yep. What do you think, Chad?
Yeah, I love the over here. I think this game gets kind of sloppy at some points, and we'll see some scoring. And then I think Jacksonville's going to take money here. I'm seeing like some fours, four and a halves already showing. So we'll see. I'm going to kind of hold off on this one. I think if this one can get on the other side of six for Houston, I'm going to kind of take the same philosophy I took in the Falcons Panthers and just two loser teams, like two teams both trying to lose on purpose. I'm going to probably.
I don't think Jacksonville's trying to lose on purpose, though. I think Daryl Bevel wants to win so he can get the head coaching job.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, the money line I'm seeing right now is just a little too high for me with Jacksonville. So I'm gonna hold off on that one and see where that line moves to. I think if it swings another point and a half or 2 points in Houston's favor, that's probably the side I'll be looking at.
Well, you want to get it over the key number of seven.
Yeah, so the app I have up on these lines, it's anywhere from Jacksonville minus 3.5 to Jacksonville minus 6 right now. So it's wherever you go is what you're going to get. DraftKings.
Oh, we'll look at it. Yeah, we'll look at it 30 minutes before kickoff, see what that line is. If it's plus 8, you can't
take. Yeah, then I'd go the other way. I'd go the other way if it got that high, for sure. Right. So
we're going to wait for 30 minutes before kickoff. So
yeah.
No zero. The thing I see is Davis Mills is going to be in trouble against Miles Jack, that Jacksonville defense. I think that's where you see like a clear edge, a couple clear edges for Jacksonville, right? Somebody got their head cut off. And the guys that like Urban Meyer feel guilty right now for what they did. Guys that hate Urban Meyer are going to be fired up. So everybody's going to be fired up. Daryl Bevel has a game plan for this. He's done this before, and he covered for me when he took over for Matt Patricia. And to be honest, I got to be honest, I do miss Matt Patricia because that was an easy pick every week. And I miss Freddie Kitchens. Remember Freddie Kitchens?
He's with the Giants. He's the OC in New York. So.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Who it is.
Yep.
I blocked it from my mind. Because Freddie Kitchens was the assistant running backs coach at Clemson. Yep. And next thing you know, he's the head coach for Cleveland.
Cleveland, yep.
Cleveland loves to hire head coaches with no experience. I think it backfired this time. Sort of with Stefanski's in that case, getting COVID every 5 minutes. So, crazy world we live in. That's one of the best things about the podcast. We make sense. The nuttiness that's going on out there, right? And we make you money. That's a big part of it. Cincinnati at Denver. Denver coming off a big win. Every week I get more respect for Teddy Bridgewater and for Coach Fangio, because they don't care. They don't care the management is tanking or whatever. They're like figuring out a way out of no way. They're not taking any excuses, and they're figuring out how to stay in games and almost win them. Denver has the highest winning percentage historically in the NFL. High altitude. Burrow is hurt. Jamar Chase is always open, but he's wild. I like, again, Denver is a team that's being sold. So they're not paying for backups, but they're going to be at home in the altitude. Again, it's a loser team I don't trust with points. So we're going to go Denver on the money line. It opened up at 45. Let me see what the numbers are there.
44 right now is what 44. I'm seeing.
Yeah, just measuring the both teams. I'm going to buy the point and make it 45. So I'm going to go Denver money line under 45. Scott, then chat.
So this is a playoff game. This is another loser leaves the playoff race, basically, pretty much. So I'm going to take Cincinnati here up in Denver. I think they have just enough offense to give Denver problems on the defensive side of the ball. So I like Cincinnati. I think Mixon's going to have a decent game as well. So give me Cincinnati. And give me the over, because Cincinnati is going to drag Denver's offense to score some points. So I like Cincinnati in the over in this.
This year, experienced defensive guys have beaten winning quarterbacks. So I love the Fangio against the Herb Burrow matchup with somebody who's worked out with Joe Burrow. Chad Nolan, what are your thoughts on this split decision here? We're split both ways on this one.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, I'm liking Denver on the money line. I'm with you, Josh, there. I think Denver can get this one done. They really impressed me last week. And then I'm going over the 44. I think both teams will get around 24. I think this one will be around 50, low 50s. So I'm with Scott there. So Denver on the money line, over 44.
Okay, so we have a appellate court, because the appellate court has three judges. The Supreme Court has seven. So we have an appellate court split decision. So the consensus picks, which people love, is Denver money line over 44. Do I have it right?
Yeah.
All right. And there's four late games, which I like for a red zone watching. All right. Next game we're going to cover is Atlanta Falcons. Double digit dog in the division going to San Francisco. The 49ers have their last. See, you're noticing now the game plan changes. The real good coaches, Shanahan, Tomlin, Belichick, Carroll, all of these now have the real schemes on offense and defense that they saw working in training camp. They said, okay, we're going to hold off on doing this till late. The games people remember are the games in December. I think Atlanta is doing a bad job of tanking, and teams that they should be, they have been beating, and they've been losing to teams they should be losing to. Arthur Smith. And what I'm looking at now, have these teams played earlier in the season?
No, they didn't play earlier in the season.
Right, so this is the first time that
they're playing. Because they're not in the same division.
Yeah, this is out of division.
All right, so Oh, yeah, they're not in the same division anymore. See, that's how in the past I'm living.
Yeah, they used to
be. Atlanta's in the South. San Francisco's in the West.
West, right.
All right. So San Francisco minus -9, under 46. Because John Lynch is the real defensive coordinator mastermind of this. The guy they have on the sideline is just a puppet, right? That's why Robert Saleh is over his head. He's never even been a coordinator. He was Pete Carroll's puppet. Then he became John Lynch's puppet. Then he becomes head coach of the Jets. That's why you see him getting out coached every week. So you go San Francisco minus -9 under 46. Scott in the chat.
We're in agreement with you. I think Atlanta traveled across the country. I think San Francisco's got too much offensive firepower. I think this is the game that it starts Atlanta's role just downward
spiral.
And I think San Francisco is trending upward. Right. That win was big for them in Cincinnati last week. So I will go San Francisco minus -9 under the 46, I think it is. So.
100%. I'm with you guys 100%. I think the Niners roll them here, win this game handily, control it, run the ball, keep this under. So I'm with you. San Francisco minus -9 under 46.5. I like those.
All right. So we're all in agreement. Seattle plus +5 in that stadium. I would have been in that stadium the day before. Division game. Always a close game. And have they played before is what I'm looking at. They did. They beat them 26-17. They always go back and forth. So I'm going to dial up. See, now, this could be an L.A. balloon line where the line, all these millionaire Hollywood guys would just blindly bet the Rams. Since Heaven Can't Wait, 1979, they bet the Rams $250,000 in Vegas, blindly. And the L.A. line goes bigger. So I'm going to wait till half of it. And the Rams just won a big game on Monday night on TV. So the TV people in Foxwood drunk. Oh, it's at the window on Monday night. Here, for the Rams, 10 grand. Or a dime, as they call them. In the Foxwood, they call them a dime. Here's a dime, man. Here's the Don Rams. That's on Monday night. Over 7. So I'm going to wait 30 minutes before kickoff. Seattle Seahawks, and it's going to go under 46. This is a ball control area. All right. Scott in the chat.
Yeah, I'm going to wait on the side until Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon early before on the live cast. But I am going to go the under. I think Seattle's game MO. As we've said time and time again, run the ball. And I think that's what they're going to try to do here. Take the ball out of the Rams offense. So I'm going to go under, and I'm going to wait on the side until Sunday morning. So,
or even because it's going to be a late game.
Yep.
Yeah, no, Sunday morning. Yeah, it's not Sunday night. All right.
Yeah, because I'll give you Sunday morning because I probably won't be on in the
late window. So. But I'm with you guys here. I think under this game, you got a ball control air raid, and you got Seattle going to run the balls. Division game. I think this one's going to go under for sure. And then, yeah, I like Seattle plus +5. Wait, see where that line balloons to. But I like them to cover 5 right now. I think it's pretty good. But, yeah, if that can get up to 7, I think it will get up there. I'm really liking Seattle this one. I think it's going to be a close game, field goal game.
Big time. Big time. All right, so we're all in agreement. Wait until 30 minutes before kickoff of the early game and Chad and I will give you the right side of that. And it's going to go under 46 because of the philosophy of these guys. Andy Reid against Pete Carroll. Harbaugh, you do not bet him as a favorite, but you do bet him as an underdog. I like Tyler Huntley when he was at Utah. He almost single-handedly did what Chad's brother did, was single-handedly beat the USC Trojans. I think he can read defenses faster and better than Lamar Jackson. He probably should be the starter. Give me Baltimore plus +6. It's going to go over 43. The average of an NFL game is 45. Baltimore's in a spot where they need to win this home game. You're going to get the calls from the refs in the home game, right? And Green Bay doesn't care about AFC road games. We're talking about LaFleur being an Andy Reid guy. We'll go Scott, then Chad.
Unknown caller. I'm with you. I like Baltimore in this spot. I think if they don't win the game, they'll definitely cover it at home. Right. And I like the under. I think there's going to be a lot of running in this game, especially if Tyler Huntley starts a quarterback for the Ravens. So I could see this game definitely going to under, and I like the Ravens on this side.
All right. So we agree on the side. We disagree on the total. Break the tie, Chad Nolan.
Yeah, I'm with you guys on the side here. Baltimore plus six all day. Love them as a home dog. And then the total, I'm going to have to go over here. I think 43 is too low. I mean, I think these teams can both get over 20, 21, 24, put this one over.
Yeah, late touchdowns against defenses that have been on the field too long. And then another thing that's been working is teams whose coordinators are interviewing, they're losing. And Joe Barry's interviewing in college. So he can get more money as the head coach of Louisiana than as defensive coordinator of Green Bay.
You know what? I'm going to change to the over. So we'll go unanimous on it.
Unanimous on the
over. Yep.
Baltimore plus six over. All right. Like it. Sunday night football. Double-digit dogs in the division. Super Bowl winning coach at Tampa Bay. New Orleans covered and beat them last time. New Orleans needs this game more than Tampa Bay, does it? Tampa Bay's in cruise control. Chad had to go. He had a plane of cash. It opened at 48. Now it's at 46. This is a game that's went over last time. It'll go over this time. So double-digit dog, Super Bowl winning coach. Tampa Bay will win the game. Right, but I like the Saints. This is the other thing too. Todd Bowles' defense does not count for the quarterback, and that man likes to run. Tyson Hill. So I like Tyson Hill to get his yards, cut the game in half, give me the Saints plus 11 over Sunday night game. Like a lot of points being scored. Over the 46. What do you think, Scott?
I'm in agreement with you. I think it's going over. I think it's going to be one of the highest scoring games of the week, if not the highest. And New Orleans is Brady's kryptonite. So he'll win the game, but he'll struggle to win the game. And I think this is a touchdown game written all over it. Sean Payton has a plan to devise against Brady that kind of slows him down a little bit. So. Right. I'll take New Orleans with the points, and I'll take the over.
Right. So, Chad will give us his picks on Sunday. He'll be with on Sunday.
Okay.
Majority pick at this point.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans plus 11 or whatever it balloons to. If you get New Orleans plus 15, that's really good. It's not going to be like that Chicago situation. We have a legitimate coach here. This doesn't let that kind of shenanigans happen. And this game definitely going over. It's hot, humid in Tampa. You saw Buffalo score, 17 points in the fourth quarter?
Fourth quarter, yep.
On Tampa Bay, right? Yep. Because they took the starters out to keep them fresh because they know the toll the weather puts on you.
Exactly.
Feel good about that. We're talking about money here. All right. Yep. Monday Night Football. Minnesota Vikings against the Chicago Bears. The Vikings are 3.5-point favorites. The over-under opened at 43, now 44. This is late in the season. Chicago got embarrassed last week. Monday night home dog. 100% this year. I'm going to go with a home dog, especially if you give me over a key number. Minnesota is a highly dysfunctional team with a horrible defense that if dysfunctional Carolina can put 30 points on it with Sam Darnold, I think Fields can do the same thing. So give me your Chicago Bears plus 4 over 44. And I'm betting that over 44 now and the sound of my voice because it's going to go up higher because that's the trend. What do you think, Scott?
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. Kirk Cousins struggles in primetime games. He's going to struggle again. They're going to look to run the ball a lot. I'm going to go the over, and I'm going to go the Bears. I think the Bears could possibly – I'm not betting it, but I think the Bears could win this game outright, possibly. Yeah, they need to win for playoffs. You know, they need to win for the playoffs. They have to win out now. So I just think, you know, second straight primetime game for the Bears. They got embarrassed in the second half against Green Bay.
Right. That was very – I was embarrassed for them.
Yes. Yeah. So I think that they will come out at home and show something against Minnesota, and they'll cover the spread, and it'll go over. I think it's going to be another one of the high scoring games of the week. So,
yeah. And they don't have backups because the McCaskey family has the Bears up for sale for $5 billion. So if you are going to invest $5 billion in something, you wanted to cross the T's, dot the I. From a business standpoint, right? Yep. Which is high margins, low labor costs, right? So
absolutely,
that means points being scored, especially in the second half. All right. Last week, let me see. Yes. Jason always comes through in the clutch. Last week, we were 17-15 and won 53%. We are at 59.95% for the season. I want this week to get us back over 60%.
Yep.
And I want us to start maybe the last 3-4 weeks, hit 80-90% 3 weeks in a row. What are your thoughts, Scott?
So, you know, watch coach and stuff. Urban Meyer got fired last night. So that's a trend to watch for that team.
Right. Makes and, it easy, an easy Jacksonville pick, yeah.
Yep. Yep, and just be overs are going to start to come in a little bit more, I think, now. Right. Late in the season, defenses are getting a little bit more tired than they were at the beginning of the season, the middle of the season.
Right.
So look at the totals, over-under totals, and, you know, bet the teams that are going for something for the playoffs. If they're playing an underdog team like a Houston or a Jacksonville, you know, look at the playoff
teams. It's a clear edge because sometimes that – logic doesn't work for whatever reason, right? This
team
who's trying to win, who has close losses, versus a team that's trying to tank like Houston.
Yeah, there's underlying trends that are gonna happen the rest of the season. So just watch them and be prepared and listen to us.
Yes, you know, that's why research is so important. Number two, rule of betting. Well, we always close with Winston Churchill because you don't have to pay Action Sports $300 a month. Between the last podcast, so much information. So information overload. So to pay Action Sports $300 a month is crazy. Or to pay Barstool Sports NFL guys to selling 3 picks for $69. Take our picks at that game, man, and you'll be fine. So we always close with Winston Churchill. You make a living from your labor, but you make a life from what you give. Thank you for listening to the ESBC Podcast Network. I'm the best there is.